Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
First episode of 2025. It is Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri, ready to kick off a phenomenal year, and we're going to do it with PPV.com like we did all of last year. We are inside of 4 weeks away from David Benavidez versus David Morrell, which you can stream live on PPV.com. No subscriptions, none of that stuff. You can stream it to your phone, tablet, big screen TV. You can join us in the live chat. Me and Chris will be out in Vegas for that fight. Jim Lampley, I believe, is joining us as well. All your favorite cast of characters in that live chat, which has become the place to be on fight night for big fights, where you can ask Chris anything. You can literally ask him recipes. You can ask him life advice, relationship advice, stock advice. You can ask Chris anything in the PPV live chat. That's not an incentive. Well, David Morrell versus Benavidez is an awesome fight, but on top of it, you can ask Chris Algieri for relationship advice in the live chat, right, Chris?
I'm good at all those things that you mentioned too. So that's I got a deep bag of other knowledge other than the sweet science. So
the beard is looking very healthy.
Yeah, you know, I figured I had a bunch of weeks off from Pro Box TV. I wasn't on screen every day. I was like, let me grow this thing out a little bit. Now I kind of like it.
The thing is looking healthy, looking real nice. If you follow us on social media, so me and Chris were over at we were at Church Street Gym.
Church Street.
Filming some content for that's upcoming. Some Benavidez Morrell content, some Tank content. Did you see Tank's new haircut?
I did not.
Wow, I thought you were locked in.
I did not. Tank. I mean, I'm usually up to date on all things Tank, but
you gotta pull this up. You gotta go to I don't know where you have his Instagram.
I do.
Go to his Instagram. He posted a nice little collage and thumb through it. I want to get your live reaction to Tank's new haircut. No, I did a double take. I thought it was Dave Navarro. You know, the former musician.
Wait, did he? I think he took everything down. There's nothing on his,
nothing on
his page. No, he's only two posts on his page now.
Okay, well, then I'll have my dad sent it to me last night and said, did you see Tank's haircut? That's how you know it's made it big.
Yeah, I mean, well, come on. Your dad is locked and loaded on everything, all right, things boxing.
I'm sending it to you right now. This is huge. People that are listening to the podcast are just thrilled right now. Take a look. I just sent it to you. Delivered. Zoom in on that haircut.
Oh, damn. Yeah, look at that.
Didn't even recognize him.
That's a good look. He could be a rock star after his fight career.
He's got a lot of tattoos.
Yeah. He's two-thirds there. He just needs some singing ability.
Who knows if he could sing? He said he wants to retire, so he might sing at the end of the year. We were at Church Street Gym. Then we went over to Keene Steakhouse, had ourselves a day. So that was so look for some new content to come your way.
Yeah, we were plotting and planning our 2025. So
it's a lot of plotting.
It's always, I don't think people realize how much planning goes into this show. We're working 24/7. We are constantly in discussions about what's next. So
it's always like this Benavidez Morrell fight. I'm already looking past that. Like
yeah, I mean we're talking about Tank already.
I'm looking to March. I'm looking to potentially April at Errol Spence. I'm looking to potential Canelo. Should we start there with Canelo Alvarez before we get into our wish list?
Dan, listen to what you just said. You said so we got Morrell and Benavidez in February. Yep. March, we got Tank.
Yep.
You just mentioned April for potential Spence news. Then May, of course, is Canelo. That's 4 months right off the bat. The first third of 2025, like we're good to go.
That's the way I like it, because on the PBC schedule, at least after September, kind of quieted down after October, actually, right with the Zoo fight.
Yeah, we had a big September, and then
Zoo after Zoo, I think they kind of shut it down. Well, Gervonta was supposed to fight in December, that didn't happen, so he's not fighting in March. So yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to get to. This episode, we're gonna give you our 2025 wish list, things we want to see in 2025, wishes, changes to boxing, improvements, fights, and all that. But there is some fight news to get to first. We're just talking about Canelo, how he wants to fight, or he's going to fight in May. He fights every May and he fights every September. It's like death and taxes, and Canelo fighting on those two dates. So this news comes out that William Skull is on the short list for May. He won an IBF title over Shishkin in October. He's the IBF champion at 168. This could be a chance for Canelo to win back his IBF title. He's not the front runner. He's probably not going to get the fight, but they're not ruling out William Skull. This is some type of negotiation tactic by Canelo, who is he'll do that.
I'm not ruling it out. I could see it happening. I could definitely see it happening. Things got really turned around with that that Munguia upset, which was upset of the year, I think, for most people. So there's been a shuffling at 68, and Skull is now in the mix. I wouldn't be that surprised.
How do you sell that?
Unification.
Undisputed?
Yeah.
But like, he did that already. He did that in 2019 when he beat Plant. Like, everyone knows that Canelo is probably the best 168-pounder right now, with Morel and Benavidez up at 175 about to tussle on February 1st. But like, that's a tough sell. I don't think PBC is in that going to do that. I don't think they would go for a William Skull.
I mean, they gave us Charlo last year.
Dude, Charlo is not William Skull. Come on.
Yeah, but you know, that was, you got to jump a guy up two weight classes, and
it was undisputed versus undisputed. It was two undefeated fighters. But more importantly, we knew who Charlo was. He had somewhat of a, I think that was his first pay per view.
He's got a profile for sure.
Profile.
Skull certainly does not. But do you think Canelo cares?
No.
No. That's ultimately the answer. He does not care.
That would be an experiment to see how many people would still buy a Canelo fight, considering like he has a baked in like 500,000 buyers and a baked in fan base that's going to show up to those press conferences, show up to those weigh-ins in Vegas. I'd be absolutely shocked if it was William Skull. I still think Crawford is in the mix. I don't know if it's a May fight. I think that's more of a September fight. I still think he fights Crawford, which means that he's probably not going to take a huge fight. I mean, some of these last couple opponents have not been quote-unquote huge fights.
But are there any huge fights out there other than Crawford? Like, I know we talk about Mbili a lot. That's not a huge fight. It's a good fight. He's a respectable opponent. I think it'd be a fun fight, but not a huge opponent by any means. You know, Plant. Chris Eubank, is that a huge fight? No. What huge fight is available other than Crawford?
None. That's why I think he's backed to backed into a corner, which is crazy to think because he's Canelo Alvarez. Right. But if he wants to like make even more money than he usually makes for these fights, and he could fight someone like Crawford, which is going to bring in that extra dough, and he's going to get a lot of money, especially if Turkey is involved. But, you know, this is the Plant rematch, which isn't exactly warranted. No one's really asking for that. I think Plant needs probably another win. If Plant beats Berlanga, if Plant beats one of the other names at 168, not Munguia anymore because he's to the back of the line. He's fighting a rematch with Serrat. Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is crazy because we're coming down to it where the biggest name in boxing, usually the fights are kind of just there for you, and we don't have a fight for Canelo for May. And we don't have a fight for him for September either because Canelo Crawford is not it's not done. Like, it's not like,
no.
I would put it at like 50%.
But more and more, that fight just makes more and more sense. And like you said, Canelo's backed into a corner. In that corner is Crawford, which, I mean, I'm starting to come around. Like, I don't know if I hate it anymore. I really didn't. Now I'm just like,
it's breaking everyone down. Like, I'm seeing more and more chatter of it. Seeing more chatter of it on Twitter. I'm seeing more fake fight posters on Instagram. The graphic designers are doing a great job, and I'm seeing more and more people like kind of giving Crawford a slimmer of hope. And I'm seeing a lot of chatter, which is how a lot of these fights.
Unless you're Tim Bradley. Tim Bradley says that Crawford's going to kick the shit out of Canelo. So,
jeez, Tim's been on a wild
hot take. Tim,
he's been
Tim.
His takes have been wild for the last couple of weeks. I love Tim Bradley. I mean, cause
I love it too.
Before
we need a guy like that. We need Tim to go out there and just throw it out of left
shake
field.
It up a little bit before you came permanent co-host. I would have Tim on a lot, And I would always tell him, like, yo, you're like the Charles Barkley of boxing. Like, you'll say anything. You have no filter. But you want
a great way to put it.
But you want a ring.
And he doesn't care either. Just like Barkley.
He does not care. Like, Bradley does not care if he's getting dragged. If you texted him, it was like, yo, they're roasting you on Twitter because you called Usyk. You said Usyk isn't an all-time great. He'd be like, I don't give
bro,
a shit.
Bro, I don't care, bro. He'd literally be like, bro, I don't care, bro.
He'll give you takes. Like, he's not afraid to be out there. He's not vanilla. Yeah, I don't think Crawford can beat Canelo. I think it would be interesting. I think it would be a little closer than people think just because of Crawford's skills. Warming up to it, too, because I love a big event. Like, I love a spectacle. And we're going to talk about this later, Chris, and we talked about this in the past, how there hasn't been, like, a big mega fight on U.S. soil in quite a while. Like, what is it, Tank and Ryan? Or I guess Tank and Haney and Ryan was pretty big. But I'm talking like, all right, everything's stopping. We're all going to watch this. You know, Tyson Paul, what was that type of fight? But I'm talking like a big time fight. Put that in Vegas. That's a U.S. fight. Like that fight doesn't belong in Saudi Arabia.
No, that's got to be in the U.S. And I think Canelo would have enough pull to keep that. And I think Crawford does as well. I mean, not necessarily pull, but I think the overwhelming want of everyone is going to be to have it here. The drive.
So who's at 168 right now that could potentially fight Crawford? I mean, potentially fight Canelo in May, because I don't think it's going to be Crawford in May. I think that they're angling that towards September. There was last I heard Crawford has the hand injury, which was all confirmed by Turkey and no one else. Like, Mabili, I wouldn't hate Mabili in May.
Wouldn't hate it. Wouldn't hate it. It'd be fun. That's the one I've been banking on, you know, for a couple months now.
It'd be fun. He's ranked second at ESPN. I know he's highly rated in all these organizations. I think he'll get washed, but I think it would be fun while it lasts. The Caleb Plant rematch, like I said, not really.
That's probably the best fight that could be made.
I wouldn't hate it either. I think it's sellable. I think Plant is one of the bigger names in the sport. His performance versus McCombie was fine, considering he hadn't fought in so long and he was rusty.
I thought it was impressive because he showed a different layer. From a boxing standpoint. Yeah. So, and I think he learned a lot from the Canelo experience, did Plant. And also, I think the Benavidez fight showed that. It showed that he's a better fighter now. And he was able to withstand Benavidez, which he couldn't against Canelo. So he learned something in that fight. And then now we saw him against McCombie. He had to fight in the inside, have to stalk a guy down, have to get in the inside and rough somebody up. So he's showing new layers to his game, which almost makes Plant like a different kind of opponent for Canelo. Does it change the fight? Probably not, but it'll be fun while it lasts.
Pacheco is not ready.
No, not there yet.
Beck the Bully. No, God. No. The bottom half of 168 is, I mean, we got this Iglesias guy who I think is a stud, but he's not getting the fight. Skull, no. Bruno, Munguia.
Skull's making more and more sense, Dan, as you keep talking, bro.
Bro, he fights Skull in May.
Oof.
Get ready, Dan, to interview William Skull at your mini mic and be like, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, and who are you?
Who exactly are you? Because I'm a hardcore. You're a hardcore. We breathe this. Before the Skull Shishkin, like, talks, and I didn't know who William Skull was. No disrespect to William Skull, but I just didn't know exactly who he was. And now the only reason I learned his name, because I was like, oh, man, they're stripping Canelo for these two.
I mean, I knew of Shishkin. Shishkin spars down here, and I know a bunch of people have worked with him. And Shishkin's a good fighter, so it was not a profile by any means, but it was like casuals don't know Shishkin, we do, but we don't even know Skull. Like that's really going down the line.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting to see who Canelo fights next, because usually he for the September or the May fight he will announce it around like end of January. Early February at the latest. So we'll find out in a few days, but Shishkin is being Skull is being dangled. Devin Haney says that he'll be back in March. He took to Twitter to announce his return. Didn't say exactly against who, but Devin Haney.
Still big news.
Go ahead.
Still big news.
Yes. I'm a big fan of Haney. This is not a podcast where you're going to hear us rip apart Devin Haney. You know, we didn't like the lawsuit. you know, that's in the past, or I guess it's still binding. But, you know, we had an issue with that. But you're not going to find us bashing Devin Haney. You're not going to hear us saying, who cares, which was a predominant comment in on our social media when I posted that he's coming back. Like, people were just fed up with this guy.
People are rough, man. Twitter is a rough place.
I'm not trying to go down that rabbit hole again, because I feel like I've defended Haney. Not defended, but, like, I've brought this up so many times that I don't understand the hate. And then the people tell me why they hate him. His dad, or, you know, just the way he handles everything. He doesn't deserve these fights. He lost to Lomachenko, blah, 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 blah. But we've talked about this numerous times, Chris. We need stars. We need our young fighters to fight, especially fighters that fight here in the States. I know Haney doesn't exactly sell a ton of tickets, but I mean, he did a pretty good job in San Francisco against Progre. But
he moves the needle, though. People get talking. He moves the needle. And you don't have to be liked to move the needle. And, you know, we've seen that with a number of fighters over the years, namely Floyd. Floyd literally went the other way. He's like, I'm just going to be the heel now. So if Haney wants to just hug on to that and just embrace the fact that, you know, all right, people don't like me, that's fine. I'm still going to make money. I'm still going to sell out arenas, or I'm still going to sell tickets. People are still going to buy pay-per-views, and I'm still going to whip ass. I mean, that's part of it.
Well,
you don't have to be everyone's favorite.
The Ryan fight ultimately was a terrible look for him. He gets beat pillar
top
to post.
Bottom.
He gets beat pillar to post. You know, he talked a big game, and he gets knocked out numerous times. But as we get further away from it, and if he comes back in March, he'll be almost a year removed from it. Was it the worst thing, really? Because he was part of the biggest promotion of the year, in my opinion. He was part of probably the second biggest fight of the year, in my opinion, in terms of eyeballs, or third biggest, top five. And now people know who he is. You might know him as the guy that's suing Ryan Garcia for battery as a boxer, which is insane. You might know him as the guy that was in all the clips alongside Ryan Garcia. You might know him as the guy like, you know what? This guy fought clean. He just signed up for year-round testing. Oh, didn't he go toe-to-toe with Lomachenko? Or did that in the meeting? Like, people know who he is. And in today's world of boxing, like, we need that. So when Devin Haney says he's coming back,
he's still only 26.
Crazy.
You got to keep that in mind. Devin Haney's 26. He's done a lot in his career already.
He's technically undefeated as well.
35. Yeah. technically undefeated. You know, as you said, went toe to toe with Lomachenko. Won a fantastic fight. That was a great fight. It was a very, very excellent performance against a guy who still had a lot left in the tank. So say what you will about the decision. It's the performance you can't knock. He looked great that night.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we can go back, and it's kind of like that Canelo-Golovkin effect, even further back, the Ray Leonard-Hagler effect. Really, really good fight that mostly people talk about the decision rather than what happened inside of the ring. Like, for Canelo-Golovkin, go back and watch that first fight. That is just epic stuff.
Epic. I mean, I love when they do the highlights of that, and both of them are so defensively sound, just making each other miss constantly, punches whizzing by, just missing, you know, rubbernecking shots, like coming right back, nobody's getting hit. Like, they were both so good offensively and defensively that they kind of neutralized each other and made for a great fight.
And what do you think about when the first thing you think about, or most boxing fans think about when they hear Canelo Golovkin?
I mean, most people think it's like, oh, Golovkin, you know, should have won that fight. Golovkin won the second fight.
Adelaide,
you know, like,
Bird.
Really, yeah, you know, Adelaide Bird, the crazy 118, scorecard.
110.
Crazy.
And with Haney and Lomachenko, not as good as a fight as Golovkin Triple G was, but it's that type of thing where that was a really good, undisputed fight. Like, that
and
was
whatever you think about Devin, if you think he's overrated, like, he overperformed, if that's your mindset. If you think Devin's not that good, you watch that fight. If you can't give him props, then you're just hating. Because he fought a good fight, a smart game plan. He executed throughout, stayed focused throughout. It was a good performance.
And he stayed in the pocket, too. He was in the pocket in that fight.
Yep.
A lot more than you would think. He was in the pocket a lot with Progre. I mean, Progre looked like an absolute... I mean, Progre has gone on to not look great in some of these recent performances.
Yeah.
But he made Progre look silly. Like, he like, took his pants down, Progre. Mm-hmm. And he just was like, look, this is what I'm going to do to you. And then the Ryan fight, which we just talked about. Like, it wasn't the best look for him, but he fought him. Like, Teofimo Lopez, I don't see him in the ring with any of these killers, too. Like, Devin Haney.
Well, also with Devin, like, the guy came in 3.5 pounds overweight and was like, I'll still fight him. Like, that's commendable.
Yeah. So when Haney says he's coming back in March, I'm excited because we need to get this guy back going. We need to have our young stars active. Like Ryan Garcia testing positive, that's self-inflicted. We didn't get to see him fight right. in December. Teofimo Lopez is on a freaking Twitter rampage right now, tweeting at Top Rank for a buyout, this, that, and the other. Tank Davis only fought one time last year. We need these guys to get in the ring. So hopefully 2025, when we talk about our wishes in a little bit, is like having these young guys fight. Like, you guys aren't so young anymore either. Like, 26. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, still pretty young. Still pretty young from what we see. A lot of the big fights, the guys are older. You know, closer to guys like physical primes are in their 30s. It's not like it was in the 80s when these guys were multiple division world champions by the time they were 28.
I'm going to go watch Kings when I after this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Benavidez and Leonard, they're both like 22.
Insane.
And they're insane. They're putting on like the sickest display of jabbing etiquette you've ever seen. I mean, it was just incredible, incredible matchup.
And everyone watched.
Going back to that's like one of my favorite fights. I don't know if I ever brought this up on here, but when I see young fighters and I'm like, I'm talking about jabs, I'm like, go watch Leonard and Benitez. Those guys are using so many kinds of jabs. Their boxing IQ is so off the charts. You know, if you want to know what boxing is like, go watch that.
And everyone watched. Like, yeah, that's no one. There were 21, 22, and both of them brought in $1 million purses in 1979, which is just absurd. What was it on? Regular? Was it on ABC? Like, it wasn't on pay-per-view. Like, it wasn't on, like, my point is, you knew who Sugar Ray Leonard was because of the Olympics, and you knew Benitez because he was one of the youngest champions. That's crazy. Like, now, in today's box, not to be, like, back in my day guy, because I'm not even that, but, like, today's, like, you have to get to 30, and that's when you can hop on pay-per-view, or that's when you can start making money, like we're seeing with Tank. Like, it took him a few years to get into the public eye. But going back to Haney, Devin Haney at 140 says, come back in March. Now, who's Devin Haney going to fight? You know, there was talk about him fighting Liam Parra. That's obviously out the window because Richardson Hitchens beat Liam Parra. Will he fight Richardson Hitchens? Probably not. I wouldn't be shocked, though, knowing Haney. But that would be a fun New York fight. And I said something a few weeks back. Like, I feel like it would be they would just mirror each other. But no. Haney's a much more offensive fighter than Hitchens.
Yes. Yes. I think you brought that up. I was like, nah, Haney. No, I was wrong there. They're very different fighters. They both have great jabs. They're both long distance fighters. But really, Hitchenson really keeps that right hand in its holster. And Haney will get in the mix, and he will fight on the inside. He will let that right hand go. He will throw the left hook, even though it's not his best weapon. Like he will fight. He's a good body puncher. So yeah, stylistically, but that's the thing about Hitchenson, and he's so good at disarming you because his jab is so long and it's so stiff, and he maintains a great judge of distance, and he's big for the weight class. Haney is too, but I would think that Hitchenson's actually the bigger man.
There's no word on what weight he's coming back at.
That's another thing. That was going to be my next question.
I mean, 147.
I'm assuming it's going to be a catch weight against not a nondescript opponent because it's Devin Haney. You can't just come in and fight, you know, anybody.
Blair Cobbs.
But it'll be someone that'll be won't be that dangerous.
Blair Cobbs. Adrian Broner.
That would be – he could probably make 45.
Oh,
145.
So
catch weight.
Devin Haney announced –
Blair Cobbs is actually in an envious position. You know, he got the Broner fight. He can step into some of these big fights with these guys. He could be an opponent for, like, a Ryan Garcia even comeback.
Oh, man. Ryan Garcia, Blair Cobbs press conference.
Be fireworks.
Woo! The cringe, the level of cringe there. So Devin Haney says, Devin Haney announces that he's returning in March. We don't know against who. Teofimo Lopez hops on Twitter and says, fight Teofimo Lopez. Devin Haney responds and says, not after what you said about black people. Now you're begging for a black guy to fight. Teofimo responds, you're not even black. And I'm reading this going, I hate this discourse. I just want to see you guys fight. I don't want to see these excuses or these ridiculous back and forth on Twitter. I understand where Haney's coming from because Teofimo said some pretty heinous things. And his response saying that you're not even black is insane. But it's just like this is what it derives to right away. Like we see Haney returning. We get excited. We see Teofimo clearly looking for a big fight. This guy is just chomping at the bit to get into the mix. And then it just devolves into this Twitter back and forth. And then eventually it goes with Teofimo continuing it up until the last hour as we're recording this, tweeting at Top Rank, asking for what his buyout is, going after Coppinger, going after Dan Rafael, tweeting at OnlyFans models. He's going nuts right now.
Huh. Well, this tells me that it's time for Teofimo to get back in the ring. Once he gets to Twitter fingers and starts battling on Twitter, it's all right. It's going to back in the ring because the guy is super talented. Honestly, it's still a good fight. I'd like the Devin Haney Teofimo fight. I think it's an interesting clash of styles.
Haney Teofimo?
Yeah,
that's freaking a great amazing. Fight. Are you kidding? That's great like a dream.
Fight. Even this version of Haney, like we've obviously seen, you know, what happened in the Ryan Garcia fight. We've seen that he is vulnerable. He can be hurt. He does have some even, I mean, technical deficiencies. But I mean, so does Teofimo at times. He's just such a crazy athlete that he's able to make things work. I like that matchup for a lot of reasons. Probably, I always have, but like now, maybe even more.
They have so much history going back to amateurs. They have so much history of hating each other. Their dads are very much in the mix. Teofimo's now with Canelo team. You throw in, they were supposed to fight for Undisputed. Teofimo goes on and fights Kambosos, gets upset. Haney takes what Teofimo's in terms of being Undisputed. It just makes more. We don't have to sell this fight. Like, this is one of the biggest fights you could make this year, especially US. That fight would be amazing. But Teofimo says that he's fighting Matias. That was last week or 2 weeks ago. But now he's asking for his buyout. And now he's calling to fight everybody. He's tweeting 52 minutes ago. Wahid, which is Javante Davis's Muslim name for like a month. Shakur, Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, and Crawford all fought once last year. I'm the only one who fought twice. What else did he post? The Top Rank ESPN contract deal ends July 26th, 2025, and for all contractual reasons, cannot overlap another network deal until then. If so, it becomes a conflict of interest, which can bind their current contract. They need Teofimo to get more lucrative network deal.
This is from Teofimo?
Oh, yeah, I'm just going, dude, this is in the last hour. I am too expensive for Top Rank, but the truth is, Todd the Buff is the issue here. He hasn't liked me or my father since I started the takeover, established 2018, and probably beforehand. Now, he is the chairman of Top Rank, so people do the math. By law, I have freedom of speech.
Well, I guess Teofimo's been busy in his off time. He's got a law degree now, which is a smart move for a fighter. I mean, he's
unbelievable.
Discussing a lot of legal matters.
Not one, and I mean no one, fighter or boxer has brought more to the table of interest than Teofimo since the days of Mayweather and Canelo. Pause. Or what is it? Cap.
Cap.
I think he's brought a lot. I think after he beat... For sure. Lomachenko, 2020, stock couldn't have been any higher. We just so happened to be in the middle of a brutal pandemic.
And yeah, but then that Kambosos performance, the stock couldn't be any lower.
He ruined.
It was such a dramatic shift.
Bro, he has no one to blame but him. I love Teofimo, but he has no one to blame but himself for what happened after Lomachenko with the Triller stuff. And
Triller.
That looked so bad.
That was dollar signs, dude. That was greed getting in the way. He had dollar signs for eyes. And I get it, man. I get it. There was a ton of money getting thrown around in those Triller days.
But so, he had bad management or something. Like there was a form of delusion. There was obviously his dad in his ear, bad management, thinking that the Triller had the money that they put up. Remember they won the bid and they blew Matchroom out of the water.
It was like three times the amount of whatever every other promotion put out there.
Right, and they defaulted on it.
They couldn't handle it.
They defaulted on it, and then he kind of looked silly there, and he had to go back to Matchroom, and he ends up losing to the story by now. That's where I feel like his whole aura took a hit. And obviously, he got it back when he beat Taylor, and you know he got it back with that run at 140. Tweeting at OnlyFans models, saying that he wants a stake in OnlyFans.
Huh.
7% stake. He called Only Sports. Oh, here it is. Yo, OnlyFans. I love this. I'll give you guys a head start. Instead of having athletes on the same page of X-rated content, why not just open another page under the same umbrella called Only Sports? I'll take 7% stake of the company, then maybe I will join. Also, royalties as well.
As a businessman now too. This is good. I mean, he's been a businessman the way that way he's tried to maneuver his career in recent years, but he's got some ideas.
He says he brought Bud Light to ESPN.
Wow, that didn't last because now they got Miller.
Well, who brought Miller then?
That's Richard a good Torres? Question.
Shoo-shoo?
Who brought Miller?
I don't know that somebody's got... But Teofimo's going to do this, bro. He's drumming up... We're talking about it. He's drumming up just interest. He can do that. but he's so damn good in the ring. Like Ryan Garcia drums up interest, and there's some people that still doubt his skills. I don't think so much anymore with Ryan, but Teofimo's just, he's on board. I see he was at some WBO thing in Puerto Rico, maybe had a few drinks, smoked a little ganj, and firing off on Twitter.
He gets out there. He stays in the public eye. Like he shows up and he's always smiling and people are tuning in, and then he gets to Twitter. I mean, it's the world we live in.
I don't like the racist stuff though. Like you don't have to go that route, bro.
It's not really I don't know. I'm with you, Dan. I don't like that stuff at all. But
you don't have to do that. Like there's no need for that.
Not necessary. There's enough bad blood with these guys anyway.
Right. That's what I mean. Like I don't know. And I was excited to see Haney News. I was excited to see Teofimo like pushing for it. Like I'm not gonna knock Teofimo for looking for a big fight when Ryan Garcia did the same exact thing and was pushing super hard for the Gervonta fight. Pushed for the Haney fight. So yeah, obviously Teofimo he wants a part of this. He wants to be in this party. We talked about this last week. Like he's on the outside looking in. He has a lot of accomplishments, but he doesn't have the checkbook and he doesn't have the bank account of Ryan or Haney, and it probably drives him crazy. So he kind of has to do
this. Or even Kambosos at this point. Kambosos has made a ton.
Oh my God, yeah.
A ton of money.
Bro.
It's wild that Teofimo, you know, how his trajectory changed after that fight, especially monetarily.
Well, that's just the thing. Like, that's kind of what Haney fired back at. Was like, you're never going to make any money with Aram. You're never going to make any money with Top. You're not going to make the type of money that I'm making.
And it's a smart move for Devin, though, to poke that bear and put that seed of doubt in who you're with. Smart move. That's art of war stuff right there.
Yeah, because what did Teofimo fire back with? What's my contract buyout? He's tweeting at Coppinger. Hey, at Matt, Mike, how do buyouts work? And Coppinger's tweeting back, well, this is how it works. Usually I'm like, what the frig is going on here? Like, he's just very transparent. Oh, world. Very transparent. But back to Haney, coming back at 140, we think, or catch weight. Don't think he's going to fight Teofimo. Catterall is fighting Barbosa.
Yeah.
That's a weird fight.
Fight that makes sense, though, Dan. Like, it's a fight that we're all going to be like, but also it's like, all right, we got two guys who have been on the outside looking in for a long time.
I'm going to watch it on my phone, like, doing something else. No, I'll watch it on the big screen. I watch everything,
Dan,
guys.
You're ruthless.
I'll watch
ruthless
everything.
Ruthless Dan in 2025.
Barbosa just he's a good guy. I just don't like the way he fights. I just don't like.
It doesn't move the needle. Neither guy really does.
I like Catterall. He's got a fan base, and you know he's got power. Oh, yeah. He's knocking guys down in every fight. He's
super solid. Has been for a long time, but
it's just two guys that don't have that extra gear. You know what I mean? Like they don't like go for it. Like Barbosa's in autopilot. I feel like every fight, and I'm like, I know
they're
you have more.
They're both very steady. They're both very steady and sturdy, but. Yeah, they're not the kind of guys you think of like anywhere near a pound for pound discussion.
Right, I know both of you got more in the tank, but you're coasting. Like, give us a thriller. Hitchens Haney would be awesome. I just don't see that. Puelo,
the build up would be great for that.
What'd you say?
The build up for that would be great.
Right, you do that at the MSG, Barclays, East Coast type of fight. Puelo, probably not. Valenzuela versus Haney would be awesome, but I don't see that happening. Matias is supposedly fighting Haney. Barbosa, like we said, Josh Taylor is out of the mix. So then you have some of these other types of names like the Blair Cobbs I see being thrown around. I don't know who he's going to fight next. I think that's not really the most important thing. I think the most important thing is getting him back into the ring and rebuilding. I do want to see the rematch with Ryan Garcia. Like, I guess we're not getting that in April when Ryan is eligible to return. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's options, but he's got to get this Herson out of the way. And like I said, I don't think anyone's going to come down on him for not fighting like a top tier guy. I certainly wouldn't. He's had a long time out of the ring. He took some damage in that last fight. He's got a lot going on outside of the ring. Trying to figure out where his weight's going to be. And also, again, I mentioned this on past shows, a guy like Devin Haney, who is a tactician, and a rhythm fighter. He needs to find that rhythm again. Getting back into the ring off of a layoff when you're that type of fighter is tough. He's not like Ryan Garcia who can just show up and he's got that left hook always. That thing is always holstered, ready to rock. So Devin's going to have to find that rhythm again, find his style, get his confidence back. That's another thing. He's coming off of a quote-unquote loss. I know that it got stricken from the record, but he's got to get his confidence back.
He's coming off of the old win-loss, the expunged loss Every fighter has been there, right?
The win in the courtroom, but the loss for the fans' eyes.
Insane. BoxingNews24.com, which is not a reputable site by any means. Devin Haney to fight on BLK Prime on March 25th against Adrian Broner. I don't believe this.
I don't see that coming.
BLK Prime, like they did one Crawford fight, and I feel like folded up. Like my guess is he'll be back on the zone.
That was similar to a Triller thing where they just overshot.
Yeah,
boxing is a unique, nuanced business, man. You can't just come into it and be like, "Oh, I've been good at other things. I could be good at this."
Bro, 50 Cent failed.
Yeah, everybody, dude. Jay-Z, 50 Cent. You know this Triller thing. BLK Prime. I mean.
Dude, 50 Cent is one of the most successful businessmen in the world. Like this guy
in multiple industries too. It's not just one.
Vitamin water.
Boxing is a different animal.
He gets into boxing, and he's like, "Man, I'm getting
now. I'm out.
I'm out. I'm out. He's like, this is freaking batshit crazy.
I'm out.
I have zero control. There's too many fucking crazy people.
Nobody follows any rules. Nobody follows any rules. Too many loopholes legally.
That's what Dana White obviously noticed over and over and over. It's the reason why Dana White has said, "I'm getting into boxing," 2017. "I'm getting into boxing," 2018. This is the year, 2019. We're in 2025, and he's still teasing some type of entry into the sport, which came and went. So we'll see with Haney. I'm excited to see him get back into the ring in March. The first quarter of the year is really shaping up pretty nicely. A little slow period, these first 2 weeks. In a way, at the end of the month, then we got the Benavidez, like we said. Then we got what's it called, fight? MSG. Why is his name slipping my mind? Our guy, 135.
Tank.
Not Tank.
35.
The other MSG. Davis. Keyshawn Davis.
Oh, Keyshawn.
February 15th.
Who's he got?
Baranchuk.
Baranchuk and title fight
at MSG Theater. You should come for that.
Wow. What's the date on that?
February 15th.
Oh, man, that's soon.
I was thinking about throwing we're getting a lot of messages
I was talking to Keyshawn, actually, at the Top Rank gym a couple weeks ago about that. And I was like, yeah, that's soon, man. Right, let's go. You've been training. Keyshawn. I'm always training. All right.
This is the year of Keyshawn Davis. This is, if you ask me, what's one fighter that's going to take the leap? He's positioned perfectly. He's got Top Rank is in turmoil with a lot of their stars either aging out or wanting out. He's clearly the darling of Top Rank. He's just had that huge fight in his hometown where he destroyed Lemos. Now he's getting the title fight against Baranchuk. So I think this is the year of Keyshawn Davis, especially if he can fight two or three times, you know, dark horse. If he can get a big fight later in the year, if he wins, he beats Baranchuk. That's an awesome win. Becomes a world titleist.
First world title.
And then look at some of the other champions. He's not going to fight Shakur because they're friends. And
I may have to come up for that. I do have that weekend available.
I'll say this. We're getting a lot of messages. When's the next Inside Boxing Live party? Pre-party.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I know. Since the inception of that, people are like, "Man, that was a great idea. When's the next one?" We're like, we don't know.
It's hard because when we go to the Vegas, like, we're so busy with all of our responsibilities there. Like, when we did the first one, it was Taylor.
Teofimo, yeah.
So we didn't have much to do really on that day. So we were able to throw that. We will do one this year. It has to just line up properly and everyone is invited. Let's get into our wishes. 2025 wish lists. Things we want to see. Things we want to see happen. Things we want to see different. Wishes. And I'm going to start it off, Chris. My number one wish. This is no particular order, but it's high up there. More fights on U.S. soil.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that, especially heavyweights. But I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's one of the things. I know 2025, I thought it was a really good year. I know some people are griping about it, but I think that was probably the number one complaint from people is that we didn't have those U.S. fights to go to. Look at us at the end of the year. We didn't get the travel. We only traveled for the Canelo fight in September. We didn't get any travels the last quarter of the year.
Oh, not on a – well, the – we had the Tyson Paul, which was kind of like its own little thing, its own little world.
I consider that like a I don't know.
That was a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's like that's the off ramp. It's different.
We got we got the MVP series, most valuable prospects. We got overtime boxing. We have pro box. We have, I would say, it's a pretty healthy amount of club shows. I think 2024 had a great amount of club shows. I wouldn't even say club. They're a higher level than club. Boxing Insider does
Like breeder shows. So like it's the breeding ground for the next generation.
Yeah, that's one of my other wishes. I have it written down here, is like a Friday Night Fights level of shows to return. And I think we already have that with Pro Box.
Yeah. And I was going to say, we're rolling out a big 2025. We're going to have like 3 shows a month, looking to do 4 eventually.
Right. You're part of Pro Box. Right. Pro Box had an awesome year in 2024. I know they have a lot of big plans. I think this could be a year, or I know it's going to be a year, where they beef it up. And I think there's such a void in the U.S.
Pro Box has been filling a void for a while. I thought 2023 was a massive year. We put on fantastic fights with a lot of fighters that didn't really have a name. Some of them went off to do big things. But then last year, we started bringing in a lot of former fighters with big names and profiles.
Like last year, fights.
Yeah, and now we're stepping up again. This year is going to be, you thought I was busy last year, guys. Forget it. I'm going to be on the road. I'm getting my miles in. I'm getting my points at the Hilton and the Marriott. I'm gonna be all over.
You better pack that microphone, man. You're gonna be in hotels.
I gotta get a bulletproof case for this thing.
Yeah. Friday Night Fights level to return. That's one of my other wishes, and I think we're gonna get that with Pro Box. They had an awesome year last year, and you know, you see like an Angelo Leo, for instance, fights on Pro Box a few times.
He's fighting in Japan soon.
Goes on to have knockout of the
Japan
year.
Money. I like it.
Gets, you know, crazy money. That's what Friday Night Fights was. And that's like, I really miss Friday Night Fights, man. Those are like just so dependable.
Like, where's our Mickey Ward? We don't have a Mickey Ward anymore. Like, Mickey Ward was built on that. You know who could be? Vladimir Hernandez. He could be the next Mickey Ward. Really? He had a great breakout year last year. He had a knockout of year contender. He had a fight of the year contender. You know, this guy's like a quote unquote journeyman. Yeah, he's a super tough guy. He knocks off some guys, but like, that's a Mickey Ward. And that cannot happen without a platform like Pro Box TV or back in the day, ESPN Friday Night Fights.
Yeah. So I would like to see them, Pro Box, to continue. And for everything I'm hearing is, you know, beef it up even more. Production level is great and all that, to where it's in the forefront even more for boxing fans. Another wish, PBC to partner with a Pro Box, PBC to partner with a Top Rank. You know, Top Rank
another network,
is kind of like dabbling with Riyadh Season, but they're not like fully in. PBC obviously is not. If you go to the Ring Magazine website, like, and they list the promoters that Riyadh works with, PBC is not on there. Top Rank is, but they're not fully on board. But like we're talking about here in the U.S., how there's this void, and you know, this in this market. So who are the players in the U.S. still? It's still Top Rank. It's still PBC, and Pro Box. Like some type of alliance, hey, let's all like come together here and make some good cards. We could all make money. I think it could benefit the fight fans, and I think it could benefit the entities.
Well, I think one of the big issues there, Dan, is the network, right? Who's gonna be the platform?
Always, like, always
ESPN
the network.
Seems like they're on the outs. We lost HBO, we lost Showtime. ESPN, there's mutterings that they're on the way out. DAZN has stepped up a lot. They've filled a lot of that void, but it would be nice to have some competitive platforms, so it's not just DAZN, you know, enveloping the sport. You know, boxing has always been like a kind of a capitalist endeavor where, you know, competitions can be good as long as the guys are fighting each other, which we're seeing more and more of. But these different networks, different platforms, and Pro Box TV could be that, because it's not just a promotion. Like, they're not just, you know, housing fighters and then working on other people's platforms. They have their own platform. So that's what makes them very, very different, which they could work with other organizations and always have. You know, Top Rank guys, PBC guys have been fighting on our air, you know, for the past couple of years, just because of the way that the business dealings are working. But yeah, to your point, if Pro Box could be that platform for the States where you're doing 4 shows a month, you know, listen, these fighters need slots. These promoters need slots. And if you don't have your own network arm, like BBC, you know, they've got who they work with, like stepping up and putting their fighters and their shows on a different platform or a Pro Box TV network. Why not?
Yeah, there weren't enough Prime shows. And I think 2024, 2025, there's going to be more Amazon Prime, regular Prime, like the one we saw with Zoo. I hear there's one in February. There's some rumors out there. That's a good sign. But
more than a year ago, that was a big deal for us. That was what we were talking about. We're talking about Amazon, the prime. And then what do we have? Four shows?
Well, one prime show.
Yeah. Well,
four pay-per-views. They didn't have, I'm talking about doing more quote unquote free prime shows on regular part of their subscription. But, you know, PBC had FS1 for a while, which was kind of like a Friday Night Fights in that same lane. Few years back, when PBC announced their deal with Fox, they had the Fox regular Fox fights, which there was like tiers. There was the regular Fox ones. There was, which was crazy. They put Porter versus Danny Garcia. It was on regular Fox or CBS, whatever, one of those. And then they had the
FS1 game with fight. So
I know it was awesome. Good start. Then they had the FS1 shows, which were kind of like I would say pro box level types of talent. And I know Caleb Plant fought on a bunch. And then they had the Fox pay-per-views, of course, which like Pacquiao, Thurman, and all that. So hopefully we can see that there's a void. There's room for all these U.S. promoters to kind of come together. Or if what's probably the case is going to be one is not, they're not going to come together. They're all going to go their separate route and try to, you know, take it all that
their
way.
Own, their own slice of the pie.
Exactly. But I think this is the year where the U.S. market returns, whether it's bigger fights or smaller ones. You got any wishes there, bud?
I'm liking these 5-on-5s. I want to see more of those. Yes. I love these head-to-head promoter matchups where you've got, you know, one promoter put up their best against the best. And, you know, Riyadh and the Saudis have made this possible because generally promoters wouldn't risk their top guys on shared shows, because then you lose a top guy and he got beat by your opposing promoter. But now these guys are like really making a competition. Like I loved when they had Eddie and Warren in the, you know, it was a little pageantry for sure, but like you could tell these guys like, hey, they don't like each other and they really want to win. So that added a little extra theater to the fight game. And then they put on good fights because you got their top guys fighting each other.
Well, is February 22nd considered a 5-on-5? You know, it's seven fights. It's not a technical. It's not like the cut and dry one like we saw with Hearn matching versus Queensbury.
It is a head to head. It is a head to head.
It is a head to head. Like that. Schofield versus Shakur is technically a matchroom versus Golden Boy. I think it is. It's like it's not like a cut and dry. Like I want to see more 5v5, like branded, marketed as like Eddie versus Oscar.
Yep.
I mean, they hate each other. Like, they really don't like each other.
And so, the sound bites between those two are fantastic. So,
right. I would be interested in that because I wasn't that interested in the Eddie Frank angle because I'm not British. And, like, neither are you. Like, we don't care too much. Like, we don't, like, the UK fans were eating it up. There's a reason why they were mic'd up. There's a reason that they were, like, remember the Open? They were, like, writing like some type of notes to each other. I was like, this is so.
I didn't think I cared. And then I did because it was entertaining.
Yeah. Imagine like what an Eddie versus Oscar would be when you have Oscar doing his clapbacks going after. He's got some weird infatuation with Hearn. Obviously, Hearn took his prized possession of Canelo Alvarez. More 5v5. I like that. Should we get into like fights? I kind of wanted to find some other things besides fights because it's very easy to go down the wish list of fights. But let's hear some of your wish list of fights.
So what do I got? I mean, number one, I want, this one just came up, you know, and it's not the best versus best that we've talked about. It's Fury Joshua. I really want that fight, man. I think that's a really fun build up. I think it does massive numbers. And I think it's, even though it's a Brit versus a Brit, I think the rest, they're both so global, especially Fury, that it'll draw eyes from the rest of the world. You know, it'll be mass over there, obviously. But I still think it's a big fight, and I think it's a good fight, actually. It could turn into, like, an instant classic.
No, that's the one that everyone's really asking for, and it's getting a huge amount of momentum.
Yeah, Josh was doing interviews being like, that's my goal for 2025.
Straight up.
That's awesome.
Straight up said it, and that's the soundbite. It's probably going to come down to what Fury wants. If he wants to come back, because he's at the end of his rope, who knows with him. And I think Riyadh would be involved, so the money will be there. Should be at Wembley. I think that's like top three fight of this year. And I like it. And it shows you kind of where the health of the sport is in terms of like they're both coming off losses, but it's still a big fight because both of them have been in big fights in the last 18 months.
And also, with what Usyk has done, he's kind of elevated himself to being just like, he's like, we always talk about the super champion. Like, he's like, he's on a different level now. Like, it's like, yeah, all right, he beat everybody. So, all right, who gets the silver medal?
The scraps.
And yeah, and not even scraps, because this, I mean, I don't, splitting $100 million isn't scraps. But, you know, you get these guys fighting for, you know, second place, which sounds bad, but, you know,
because it's true.
How accomplished it is. Both those guys are, but that's what it is. You're not the best guy in the division. You both got beat by that guy.
It wasn't even like one type of fight. You got beat twice by that guy.
Yeah, they both got beat twice.
It was just insane.
A lot of storylines for that matchup.
Speaking of Usyk, I have a wish for Usyk to fight twice this year. There are some people that chimed in and said they want Usyk to retire on top. That would be their wish, to see an all-time great go out on top, a la, you know,
I don't understand
Lewis.
People who want him to retire. Like, I get it why he would. I don't want him to retire. I want him fighting.
Well, there's people that just don't want to see him knocked out. There's people that don't want to see him take the route that a lot of fighters take when they stick around too
boxing,
long.
Dude. That's boxing, dude. We all do that. Like, I mean,
if he does retire, his stock couldn't be any higher right now.
No, yeah.
If he does decide to just walk away and go out on top, like a Lennox, to a lesser degree, like a Andre Ward, mm-hmm. his lore is just through the roof. Even he really is a mythical figure. It's just taken up to like 30 notches.
Yeah, but it's going to leave open doors for criticism. There's going to be people who are going to be like, yeah, I think so. I think it always will.
Who's left?
It's not even about that. It's the same mutterings about people saying like he's not an all-time great. Like, listen, come on. His accomplishments speak for themselves. But there's like, this same crop of heavyweights wasn't like it with the guys in the past. Yeah, there's no way he could beat this guy. Like, that's always going to happen, I guess. But
even if he comes, even if he fights again, that's still going to happen. Like, the fights for him or Dubois, like, I don't have to see that again. Like, I already saw it. Like,
but imagine if he gets a Dubois fight, he beats him. Now he's beaten Dubois twice. He's beaten Tyson twice. He's beaten Joshua twice. It's like,
it sucks that he would have to do that.
What do you keep asking this guy for to do these things?
He's not going. He's not fighting better BF. He's not going down to cruiserweight.
No, he's not going to cruiserweight. Like, I know that.
Jay Opetaia is fighting this week.
Yeah, this weekend.
Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday, excuse me. Yeah,
yeah, like week. The midweek Australia.
Yeah, they've been ramping up their fight week. It's funny when fight weeks are like starting over the weekend. It's kind of weird. You're seeing all this coming up. It's like, oh man, it's like, oh, I'm losing my days. It's only Monday.
Yesterday I saw Eddie. Yeah, they're doing some of a press conference Sunday. I was like, oh man, what day is it? Because we're in that like weird in between Christmas, New Year's. And that's finally over. And Obataya.
I got to my emails today and I was like,
I think everyone's back at work today. I don't go to an office, but I my family seems pretty upset. They're at their jobs, and my friends are like,
my family seems, yeah, my friends and family are pretty upset.
My friends are like, I have to go back to work. Snowing. I'm on my way to work.
Meanwhile, you and I are like, I can't wait till we get back. When is our next show?
Yeah, I need some normality. Is that a word?
Normality?
I'm making it a word. I think it's a word. YouTube comment section. Normality.
We're not
when you get back to work. When you get back to work after New Year's, you're looking for that normality. Opetaia is fighting this week. I wouldn't mind seeing him make a run at heavyweight.
I don't think he has a choice. I think he's gonna have to.
Well, there's some names still. There's the Zerto fight. He can unify. There's Dordakos is. That's a name, right? He is mandatory.
Dordakos, a number of years ago, was a really bad dude.
He's still lingering because he's a mandatory for Zerto. So if Zerto fights Dordakos and then Opetaia gets through his fight this week, which is no walk in the park,
no,
we have
not at all
a unification between Zerto and Opetaia, which can very well be made now with Riyadh season, both guys being connected to that. Then Opetaia can go to heavyweight.
Because I think regardless of where we're going to see him there, you know, he goes on and you know, he gets past, how do you say his name?
Zika? Something with a Z. I should know.
Zika?
Yes.
Zika. It's N-Y.
Zima.
Zika.
Okay. Like the drink.
Okay. Nice. You know, he gets by him. Maybe he gets that Zerto fight. And even if he, you know, he wins or loses, I think he moves up.
Nika. But here's the thing, like, he looked pretty vulnerable in those Briatus fights.
Yeah, but it's Briatus, man. And Bredis is super tough. He's one of those guys. He's aged really well because he's got great power and excellent technique. Super, super good fundamentals. Very, very solid. Great chin. You know, he gave Usyk all he could handle in their fight, and the two fights that he had with Obatai. I mean, I think that's just him.
Yeah. I don't think a Zerto fight, it's like a foregone conclusion that Opataya wins that. Like, Zerto is coming into his own.
That's a real fight.
He's huge.
That's a real fight. You could add that one to my wish list this year. I didn't think about that one. That's a fight that I really would like to see. I've been very impressed with Zerto at cruiserweight, and I've always been impressed with Opataya. So them fighting is literally one versus two.
Yeah.
And I don't, it's, you know, Opataya is probably holding that number one spot in almost everyone's eyes, but Zerto's right there nipping at his heels.
So I wonder if he sticks around cruiser and like feels like I have to clean it out, which you don't really have to do.
He doesn't have to, but he's got to make that Zerto fight, and he can't leave that unfinished business.
Yeah,
because either way, Zerto's going to come up after him at heavyweight. Zerto's been talking about going to heavyweight.
True. Especially,
that fight's going to happen one way or another.
Especially if Usyk retires, Fury and Joshua tangle up, Dubois, Parker. Like, there's... We're starting to see a little bit of a turnover at heavyweight. Mm-hmm. And Opataya could hop in there. Zerto could hop in there.
Changing the guard.
Exactly. To add some of the names that are already there, like Zhang. But even though he's 41, he's
41. All these guys are in their mid.
I still look at Zhang as like, I can see him fighting until he's like 45.
Yeah, I mean, stylistically, yes, the way he is. And he hasn't taken a ton of punishment in his career. He's had a very long career, though. But I've told you, and I've said it on this air, I've seen him train. He's very, very impressive, very good athlete. Stays in shape year-round, so trains with my guy Scooter over on Long Island, and I got to go watch him over there. You know, he's got a lot of fight left in him.
Another dream fight, we talked about this earlier in the show, Canelo Crawford. It's on my wish list.
It's earned its way. I've been scrapped its way into your wish list.
I've been beaten down, and now I'm into it. Like, the lack of big fights in the U.S., the lack of true opponents for either guy. Some, you know, we can use the whole daring to be great angle, which I hate, which usually means you're just going to lose when the guy that's coming up two weight classes, Crawford. But I want to see, like, if Canelo can knock out Crawford, that's, like, worth tuning in for. If Crawford can outbox Canelo, because I don't think he can drop him. Would be stunning. So, yeah, like, give me those potential options in a fight, in a huge PPV fight.
Well, the buildup would be massive, right? All eyes will be on that. It's a massive fight.
Do you think Crawford will get under the skin of Canelo, or will be a lot of respect?
Canelo's hard to get under the skin, and Crawford's gotten better at talking in recent years, but he's very, like, short and cutting.
Yeah.
I don't know if Canelo's be derogatory, but like, I don't know if his grasp of the English language he'll get it, you know, like that it would bother him as much, you know, because Canelo's really good at that too. His short like responses and counters, you know, at press conferences are excellent. So I feel like they'd be really nip tuck, but it might come down to both of these guys having a lot of respect for each other.
Berlanga got under Canelo's skin because he just played that role of like dumb young kid, like zero respect for you. Crawford's not going to do that. Crawford's not going to make a fool of himself. He's not going to take his shirt off. He's not going to have, he's just going to be respectful, and he's not going to do much talking at all. But that's way down the line. That's if we get the fight. I don't think it needs that to build up. These are just probably two of the bigger names of the last 10, 15 years of boxing. And that's how you sell this fight. You just put the two names on a poster. Boom.
Two guys who have been top pound-for-pound guys for years.
You just put Canelo Crawford on a poster, and then you...
People are like, is this happening? I'm there.
I guess another wish fight for me would be Ryan Haney, too. I think we need...
I knew you were going to go there.
We need some closure on that. We need Ryan drug tested. We need a normal weight. We need a normal promotion. I don't think Ryan will do that again. I think he's in a better place mentally, but you never know. I need to see that fight again.
I think there's a lot. It's a huge fight. It's a massive fight. So it makes a ton of sense monetarily, the background, you know, the history, it's unsettled is another thing, because the fight ended in a no decision. You know, in the way it stands currently, it is a no decision. So, you know, there is not a victory on either man's marker yet. So there is a lot of undecided aspects of that fight.
I just think it's built in. Like, everything is there built in. Like, it had one of the better promotions. It had whatever you think of the promotion. It went crazy. And there's just that storyline built in. And I just don't know. Maybe, you know, the two ships passing in the night. Is Ryan moving on to a bigger weight? You know, 154. He's supposed to fight this Japanese guy. Is he moving on to other names? That's another thing, too. It's like, yeah, I do want to see this, but they did already fight. And would I rather – do I want to see Haney fight Teofimo? Yes. Do I want to see Ryan go to 154 and test some of the guys there with that left hook? Yeah. But I do want to see Ryan and Haney just run it back because there's just so much question marks. There is and there isn't, because that left hook was pretty devastating. Right.
Yeah, no, but there is, because the fight ultimately, and we forget this because we only see the highlights, it was a close fight. Ryan did not do much. He threw, you know, he threw punches like it cost him money. They all, you know, when he did throw, it was devastating. And every time he hit or touched Haney, he hurt him. But there were moments in that fight where Haney was boxing well from the outside, cracking, you know, Ryan on the body. He wobbled him with a left hook early on as well. Some leaping left hook that caught Ryan that made Ryan bang his gloves together and kind of take a funky step. So there are places you could see that this could actually be a good fight again. It wouldn't be a blowout. But I could also see that too. I could see, you know, there was a lot of technical deficiencies that Devin would have to fix in order to not only be competitive, but to try and win that fight.
Do you have any more wish list fights before I have a few?
Yeah,
other...
Inoue Nakatani.
Yeah,
I want Inoue Nakatani. That fight, I think, I don't know if we get that this year. I know the Bob father last year said that the plan was for the fall for that fight. I would love that. I think that's the most dangerous fight out there for Inoue. I'm very high on Nakatani, and you're getting 222-pound Japanese fighters is the, you know, one of the biggest fights that can be made in the world. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's obviously on my wish list too. Inoue fighting potentially three times in 2025, because now his fight got moved to January.
Fight got pushed back.
Yeah, so he's on Fighter of the Year watch. He's always on Fighter of the Year watch, but I think Shakur.
He could be the guy who takes the mantle, depending on what happens with Usyk and Crawford, because those are the only two guys that are ahead of him. You know, if Usyk continues to fight and keeps winning, you know, depending on how he looks, it's going to be hard to topple him. You know, if Crawford goes out there and beats Canelo, how do you not have him as number one? But if that fight doesn't materialize and we don't see Crawford fight again, maybe this is the year that he retires. Maybe this is the year that Usyk retires. Who's pound for pound number one now?
It's crazy to think of Inoue like that. Like, he's just been so good for so long that, especially in the last 2 years where he's gotten to the public, or the real recognition.
He's become marquee status.
Right. So like, he had a great year last year, but he was not like in the Fighter of the Year discussion. But this is the year he can get back in that, especially if the second half of the year he goes to featherweight and wins there. So if he has two more wins at 122, he beats Goodman, then he beats another name, and then he goes to 126. Well, if he doesn't fight Nakatani, which would be horrible, but if he does that route, then yeah, you're looking at Fighter of the Year stuff. I just have some quick ones before we say goodbye. Main events to start before 10 p.m. Eastern. That's old man Dan gripe.
Good one. Good one. Really good one.
That was a Dan Canobio gripe. I just think it's not that crazy. It's not even like an old man stance. It's like, dude, we need people to actually see these fights. Like, why are we starting main events at 1 in the morning?
Literally. Like, I mean, it's tough because we're talking about, you know, time zones, obviously. And we're being partial to the fact that we are, you know, Eastern Standard Time, but yeah, man, those fights when you're sitting there yawning in your recliner at 12:30 and they're walking and you're like, oh man.
Dude, most people say like I'll just watch it tomorrow. Like,
yeah, and that's not good. What? That's not good for the health of the sport.
Are you watching the NBA Finals the next day? No, you're watching it that night. Like
live, man. There's nothing like a live fight. And also, you pay for it the next day. If I'm up at 1 a.m. watching a fight, and it's like, you know, the Crawford and Madrimov fight.
That was late.
I was shot the next day. I was so shot.
I don't know, you can't expect people to do that with, you know, families and things to do, kids.
But then also, I'm excited after fights. Like, after a good fight, I'm jacked. I can't go right to sleep.
That's why I love the Riyadh fights, especially here in the States. It's like, as a content creator, too, like, I can – it's fights end at 7. Like, you know, I'm jacked up, number one, so I can potentially go out or, like, have a night. Number two, like, I can
bang out content for the next 3 hours and get to sleep at a decent time.
Right, and people, like, the post-fight content is the best best content. And, like, that's when you're reacting to the fight and, like, you have until, you know, hours to put it out and stuff where, you know, some of these fights end at 1, 2 in the morning. You wait until the morning. I don't know. Those are just – I just hope the main events start before 10 p.m., but beggars can't be choosers when it comes to boxing. That's our wish list. If you have any more wishes, everyone, send them our way. We are into 2025. We are getting ready for a big year. I think it's going to be an awesome year. I think the sport is in a good spot. Hopefully we get some more here in the U.S. I think that was a big predominant theme here today, but definitely get big fights. It's a lot of fights. February 22nd. I mean, whew, it's a big one.
Top to bottom. When I mean, we're basically saying it's the best card ever on paper ever put together.
Yeah, and that's what we have to look forward to. In addition to a ton of other fights, you know, Benavidez, Morel, I'm getting very, very excited for that fight.
That's it's such a good fight, man. Such a good fight, and I think it's getting the attention it deserves because of all the bad blood and all they should just do impress. Put those guys in the same room together, what? Just watch the sparks fly. People get more and more excited. Well, it's also, everyone speaks beef, bro. Everybody speaks beef.
It's also the first big fight of the year. So, and there hasn't been a big one besides Fury Usyk. So it's going to get that a lot of eyeballs in terms of, all right, this is the first big fight of 2025. We're kicking it off.
Boxing's back, 2025. Let's go. That's a good one.
Order it on PPV.com, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back later in the week. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out with the ends.